The next issue is tenant-occupied property, and I have a bunch of horror stories about that. One of the things you should think about, if you're a listing agent and your seller wants to sell the property, you've got to realize that that tenant may have some legal rights. You need to find out what the agreement between the tenant and the seller says, because that tenant may have a right to stay in that property well beyond the time that you're trying to close the escrow. So your seller might have to bribe them to get out or whatever, but it's really important to understand what their rights are. Another thing from a buyer's point of view, let me tell you another wonderful story I had. Representing a buyer, we did our walkthrough. There were boxes all over the property where they bundled up their stuff. We get ready, close escrow based on the walkthrough, and my buyer arrives and the tenant's still in the property, and they say they're not moving. That creates a problem, doesn't it? So what do you do about that? Well, I have devised my own scenario here that I think is probably something that should be added to a contract that's not in the regular purchase contract. Okay, number one, the contract says something different about close of escrow. It says property shall be vacant at least 5 days prior to close of escrow. I don't think many people know that. Basically, that's saying let's make sure we're getting the tenant out. Now I get to tell you another one of my great war stories. I have the buyer again. My buyer and I arrive to the property ready to take possession. It was tenant occupied, but you know, we believed the tenant was going to get out, and we got there and the tenant was there. Now, what do you do? Well, frankly, I didn't know what to do. The seller had moved out of the state and the buyer is screaming. They've got a big truck there ready to unload. So what had to happen is they had to take all their furniture back to the moving company and store it. And of course, there's expense involved in that. And then they're screaming at me, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I can't find the seller's agent for probably 24 hours. I finally say, who is this tenant? What are we going to do about getting them out? And they go, I don't know. My seller's moved to another state. I wasn't involved in the lease. I wasn't involved in the notice to terminate the lease. You know, what are we going to do? So I get advice from our company attorney that the buyer has to evict them. Now, they pick up the phone and call an eviction company, and they say, I'd like to evict this tenant. And they said, are you the owner of the property? Yes, I am. What's the tenant's name? Hello? Nobody knows what the tenant's name is. So you can see that creates a little bit of a problem for the eviction company. So the point is, it took a while, and that tenant stayed there, and my buyer incurred all this expense because they had to go live somewhere. So here's what I'm going to suggest you do. I'm going to suggest you add this language to the contract. Okay, number one, property to be vacant 5 days prior to close of escrow. Number two, should the property not be vacant 5 days prior to escrow, seller agrees to start an eviction process within 24 hours of notification by the buyer that the tenant hasn't vacated. Number three, should the tenant not vacate within blank days, and your buyer then has to decide what that is, buyer has a right to cancel this contract. Number four, and here's what's important. Seller shall be liable for any buyer consequential damages that are incurred related to this delay of delivery of possession. Now, what are consequential damages? Number one, the buyer's got to live somewhere. They probably got to go rent someplace. They might even go stay at the Fairmont, for all I know. They have a right to go live someplace. They also have cost involved, don't they? They have to eat. They have to board their dog. They have to have somebody take care of their plants. They have to have their laundry done. All of those are legally chargeable damages that will be against the seller. So I want the seller to agree up front and kind of get it in their head that they better get that tenant out or it's going to cost them big time. Or, I don't know if you've thought about it, sometimes buyers are buying property as an income property rather than moving into it themselves. So there is a box you can check that says tenant to remain in possession. Obviously, one of the things I wouldn't want to do would be to close an escrow with a tenant in possession because I don't know who they are. So during the escrow period, one of the things, if that's the intention of your buyer, that you need to do would be to go there, sit down with them, interview them, see if they want to stay in the property. Number two, probably do a credit check and treat them like a brand new tenant because they would be. And number three, you'd want to do what? You'd want to get a rental agreement signed so that they would have a legal right to collect the rent and evict them if they don't pay it. One of the other things the contract says, and I don't think most of us as agents are dealing with this, but it says seller assigns to the buyer any assignable warranty rights. Now think about it. Your seller might have just put a new roof on, or they bought a new stove, or they bought a new furnace or whatever, and there's warranties on that that really should be attributable to the buyer. So this says that those are assigned to the buyer, but here's the problem. Unless you get copies of them, how would you know what's available? So it says seller shall deliver copies of these warranties to the buyer. And I don't think I remember ever seeing anything like that in any closing papers. Then the question becomes, what about keys? In other words, when are we legally obligated to deliver keys? Clearly, if we're not notified that the property is even closed escrow until noon, then probably you don't want to deliver keys prior to that. I know some agents slip the key to the buyer's agent, which I think is wrong. I've seen buyer's agent go over and take keys out of lock boxes before they have a right to do that, which is also wrong, because the contract very clearly says that these keys shall be delivered by the seller at close of escrow. Now, I've seen agents play the game where they tell the buyer's agent, well, you need to drive to my office and get the keys. That's not what the contract says. The contract says the seller shall deliver those keys at close of escrow. But you know what it also says, and this can create, obviously it doesn't create a lawsuit, but it can sure create chaos. It says that the seller is deliver a means to operate all locks, mailboxes, security systems, alarms, and garage door openers. Now, what if the seller doesn't have those? Well, then the listing agent should have told him that up front, because the buyer, by contract, has a right to get those. And if they want to play the game, they can go to small claims court and make the seller pay for that. Now, I don't frankly think that's probably a smart thing anyway, because if I have keys to a property that I just bought, the seller might have given keys to someone else. I mean, how many people do you know that have keys to your house? Maybe your adult kids, maybe a neighbor has keys. So I always advise buyers to get rekeyed anyway. So that's what I would be telling them. Now, garage door openers. How many garage door openers does the seller have? There is a question on the TDS that asks that. It does say openers, and I've had buyers call me as a manager screaming that it says openers, meaning that you're supposed to deliver at least two because it says openers. The problem is they haven't read the rest of the contract, because down in the fixtures paragraph, it talks about that you only have to deliver what exists. And it does talk about garage door openers. So if only one exists, that's all you get. If you have three, then that's what you get. So the TDS will tell you how many the seller has, but the problem is the TDS isn't part of the contract. We'll talk about that later. But at least you can know what the issue is. One of the things we just talked about was mailboxes. Mailboxes are controlled by the post office, so you may have to go to the post office to get that key changed. Also, it talks about security systems and alarms. Is that system owned by the seller or is it rented? So it says that you have to provide a means to operate, which means what? Just because it's not working, you might have to be responsible, Mr. Seller, for paying for the alarm company to come out and teach the buyer how to use it, unless you have provided them an operator's manual. So understand what the contract says. It also talks about keys for HOAs. As you know, many HOAs have some really nice facilities. They have workout rooms and pools and whatever, and there's usually a key involved in that. It's not uncommon that the HOAs will charge a transfer fee, which we talked about earlier, or they also might require a deposit for that key. So find out about that before you close escrow.